That's better. You can still hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I believe you're doing a series. What does it look like to be good news people in a bad news world? And so when Martin said, well, this is our theme, there's no particular thing I want you to preach about, I was then going away thinking, please, Lord, give me something. You know what it is? If you're given something, you can get on with it, but you know, I was just praying away. And this is what I felt God say, and it was this. We are good news people if we become available to God. So he's saying if we're available to him, we then become good news. And I thought I'd put a couple of pictures on and say, this is how I'm trying to work it out where I am in Swindon. And somebody said when I met them earlier today, oh yeah, you told us a story about your bikes and you're doing your bike repairs. Well, up on the right, that's me doing some bike repairs. That was Monday this last week, and a whole lot of youngsters were there. I said, I'd like to take a quick picture of what I'm doing with the gazebo and the repairing bikes. And I said, if you don't want to be in the photograph, please just turn around or move out of the way. And all these kids said, I want to be in. And they came rushing in to get the photograph. So it's fun. And so for me, this is something that God spoke to me now 3 years ago and said, put up a sign and say, free bike repairs. And I felt God speak, and nobody came. And I repaired one bike that day after chasing a boy down the street because he had flat tires. And he didn't want to know, but I persuaded him to have the tires pumped up, and then I mended his brake, and then he told his friends. And so each week now we maybe have 15, 20 people coming along, mums, kids, these sort of youngsters. So we're trying to sow into them. And occasionally we get these little conversations because I do assemblies at some of these youngsters' school, and they come up and they want a little conversation. And they said, was the story you told about your wife really true? And I said, yeah, it was. It was true. And then another kid came and I told the story of Dorcas. I was asked to tell the story of Dorcas from the story of the lady who served her community by making things, making items of clothing and serving the poor and the needy. And she died. And Paul came, Peter came, and I can't remember which one it was now, and he raised her from the dead. And another kid came and he says, can I have a little word with you? I said, yeah. I said, did that lady really come back to life again? And I go, well, yes, she did. And that's what Jesus does for people. He was fascinated. So I get these moments. I wouldn't have got those moments had I not been available. On the right-hand side, I took that this Tuesday. This is a little group of people that get together each month, and we walk round where we live. It's called I live in a place in Swindon called Tadpole Garden Village. Yeah, it's a nice little name, isn't it? And there was a tadpole farm, and this whole... It's only been built 10 years, so nothing existed 10 years ago. Anyway, so we go around and we pray. We pray for the schools, we pray for the community. We walk up sometimes a bit of a hill and look over and pray over this place. So this happened about a year and a half ago. I was telling the lady on the right, her name is Sally, she's the local vicar. I was telling about what I felt God say on my prayer walk. And then I got this little question a week later. It says, can I come with you on your prayer walk? And I sort of felt, I don't usually get ladies or vicars wanting to come with me on my prayer walk, but I don't see why not. So off we went and we prayed. And she so enjoyed it, she told somebody else, the guy on the far right there, Dave, he's from a New Frontiers church and he's moving into the... And he started really coming along every time. He started organizing us, actually, what we should pray about, where we should go. And then he... and then Sally was talking to this other couple that lead a little fellowship there. They call them Cornerstone Fellowship. And he says, can we come along on a prayer walk? So, and then there's another lady in the middle. The lady joined us with long hair there and blonde hair. And she's the new curate at the church. And she wants to come. So we're all together. This is essentially, you know, now... That was just being available to do a little bit of prayer walking and telling the stories of what God answered. And now there's a whole group of people praying for the village that we're part of. It's being available to God. So this is my little story. In Romans chapter 12, it says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So this is worship. It's worshiping like this, singing, getting the chorus, being together, feeling and knowing the presence of God, great encouragement. But it doesn't stop there. It's part of our whole lives. Here I am, Lord. I'm an offering for you. I want to be available to you. Please help me today to know what to do and the right thing to do. And it goes on, don't conform to the pattern of this world, because if you do, you won't be available. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. One of the obstacles lots of people have of finding God, coming to God, committing themselves fully to Him, is their lives will get boring. They'll be doing things they don't really want to do, and their life won't work out well. Well, the opposite is the truth. The good news is He's got a purpose for your life, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And that's what He wants. So we're available to Him. And as I was preparing for this, a song came into my mind. Some of you older ones, this is back in the 1980s. Long before some of you were born. And and this song was by a guy called Chris Bowater. He was a little bit like Roy, a sort of piano player, and he wrote some great songs that our churches sang. And he wrote this one, here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. Then he just repeated that. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. And he would just sing this song. And you know, as I was doing my prayer walks and going around, I began to just repeat this song and get it in my heart. And Chris Bowater, he was a Christian. And then he drifted away from God a bit, and great piano player, and he was part of a jazz band, and four of them, and they would do the nightclubs and the jazz clubs in London, and he would get tons of bookings, so his bank balance went up nicely. He was doing, but he would get into all sorts of stuff late into the nights, most of those jazz clubs going on to 2-3 in the morning, and he would begin to do all stuff that he wasn't proud of, and then God began to speak to him. And one night, he finished his session with the jazz band, and he didn't feel good, he didn't feel right. So he went down where he was playing near Ealing. There's an Elam church there in Ealing, and he sat on the steps of this Elam church there in Ealing. And God began to speak to him, says, I want you to be wholly available to me, because I've got a plan and a purpose for you. And so he, there that night, he decided that he was going to stop playing in the jazz band and become available to God. Right? No, the thing is, you're listening to me to speak, and I just want you to do a little bit of work. So now, some of you may not feel that I don't really like doing this, but could I ask you, with the person next to you, or just to find somebody, and I want you to answer this question. Who are you available to? Who are you available, and what groups demand stuff from you to be available? You know, let me give you a clue. I'm actually available to my wife. She says, Roger, I can't lift that box down from that top shelf, please. This is one thing that husbands are useful for, if you're tall, lifting a heavy box. I'm available. Whenever my wife wants me to do something like that, I'm available. She says, Roger, it says, I've done enough washing up for the day. It's your turn. And I have to drop what I'm doing. Because it's not, oh yeah, I'll do that later on when I've finished on the computer. I need to stop. I'm available. So can you just do this for me? Get in twos and see if you can come up with two or three different things or people that you're available to. On your marks, get set. And then we'll get feedback. Just do you've only got half a minute. It's not long. Half a minute. Okay, that's probably enough. Right, can you help us? Can you help us? Just put up your hand if you think you've got something that you're available to. Yeah, put up your hands. Anybody? Yeah, okay, from the back here. These two here, yeah? It's available. Oh, you're available to your customers. You come into a shop or a business you have, you're right, to your gardening. Very good. Anything else anybody is available to? Yeah. Your friends, you're available to your friends. So if they phone you up on your mobile, please could you come and help? Tend to drop what you're doing and go and help. That's great. Right, I'm available to everybody in my retirement home whenever they need. See, these are good things. Anything else? Yes. Your family. If they phone up, Dad, I'm a bit short this month. I need a coffee. Please, can you transfer a little bit so I can have a coffee? I'm running a marathon. This is my son. I'm running a marathon today. I just need something, just a little boost going around the marathon. You know, your heartstrings. Oh, of course, I'll give you a little boost. I get paid on Tuesday. I just need... Yeah, I'm available to my family. Anybody else? I'm available as a mechanic to my children, yes. I got phoned up one night, sort of 9 o'clock. My son is in a special bike race tomorrow. His tire is blown out. Can you help? I said, 9:15 on a Saturday night. I say, yes, come round. And anyway, they came round. I sorted it too. I don't know if they won, but anybody else available? Anything else? Your neighbours, yeah? Work. They phone you up and you're there. Yeah, well, listen, all these things are good. But sometimes we can become available to everyone. And then God's pull and draw to us, somehow we haven't got room for it. You know, this is me as well, because I'm available to loads of people. I'm available to school, I'm available to my family, I'm available to all the church people. Last week somebody phoned me up and says, oh, Roger, tomorrow I'm supposed to move house. And wondered if you could help me. And I thought, tomorrow? He says, I've got, I'm all booked up. And I didn't say that over the phone. I said, I just thought quickly, I said, I could do it at 7 o'clock in the morning. Yes, that would work wonderfully, but I've got to be at work at 9 o'clock. I said, great, you know, I've got an hour and a half to move you. Okay, says, is everything packed up ready? Says, yeah, it's all ready. It's going to take a few loads, though. So at 7 o'clock, I went round with a car, and I have moved quite a few people in my life, being a pastor. And do you know what? We got everything in one load. She had packed up everything. It was wonderful. Yeah. And I moved to there, and I said, if you take me to work now, I'll be there too early. I'll catch the bus. It's fine. So I was home by 8:15, having my quiet time, which I missed because she had we fitted that in. Available. You know, the thing is, we become so... I've been actually got a bit too available. I committed myself to too many things. So I was in my workshop doing bikes that had to be going to people in a rush. And when I'm in a rush, I can get a bit clumsy. And I bang my head against the beam there. I saw lots of stars all around. I was a little bit wobbly on my feet, but it healed up. It's fine. Do you know, we're available. You know, sometimes my mobile phone is, I'm available to this, really. Anybody who rings, I want to help. Now I started to write in, likely to be spam. Do you know, you put, and so when those numbers ring, I don't answer it. And I'm learning not to answer it every minute. The pull is, we're available, but God wants us to be available to him. Are you available sometimes to the wrong things? Because, you know, there's a draw on us sometimes to the wrong things. I think I'll share this one. A little while I've been helping a guy who has got into some bad stuff on the internet. And, you know, just recently, the police called again because they spotted that he had been on a site. Folks, he is now in prison. It's a shock, isn't it? He was available to the wrong stuff. And there's a pull, men and women, to be available to the wrong stuff. People that we shouldn't be available. Stuff that we shouldn't be available. God wants us to be available to him. We're in a safe place. Let me tell you just a little story. My wife and I, this is a bit of light relief, okay. My wife and I took up ballroom dancing when I was in Henley. I have not wanted to do this, and I'd always avoided when my lovely wife says, couldn't we learn to do some proper dancing, ballroom dancing? And she says, no. She says, oh, you're quite good at dancing. You should have a go. And eventually, there's a little phrase, I sometimes like this phrase, happy wife, happy life. And this was one of those occasions where I had to. And I went along, and we enjoyed it, and we got quite good together. We enjoyed the dance school that we were doing. It was right in the middle of Henley. He was a very good dance teacher, and he concentrated on the men, because if he knew that he'd got the men there, the ladies would come along anyway, they're so good, but he would keep the men, and he did. He'd keep lots of guys, and liked his school and his dancing. So I could do a good waltz, I could do a good foxtrot, I could do a good cha-cha-cha, I could, you know, and we've got Strictly coming, haven't we? Some of you have been watching that. And then my wife got this dreadful pain through the knees, and she had to stop. So the decision was I going to go and continue to dance on my own and hoped a lady or two might agree to dance with me? Okay, so we talked about it and we agreed. So I went along. And there was one very good little youngster dancer, and she didn't mind dancing with me, and she used to tell me off most of the time, all the wrong steps, but I quite enjoy. Do you know, it's one place where I like being corrected, because I'd rather be corrected, and you learn, if you're in ballroom dancing, to love being corrected. And anyway, so this person, and one day she wasn't very chatty. She was sort of dancing, she wasn't chatty. And I felt God speak to her. We'll call her Susan. I won't tell you her proper name. She was Susan. And I felt the Lord say, get her one of your ladies' bikes and give it to her. Well, I obeyed mostly. I got two bikes, and I thought, it sounds a bit good just giving somebody something. They'll think, oh, why are you giving it to me? So I said, do you know, I've got these two bikes. I could get it for you for £10. And I had this nice fold-up bike and then a nice mountain bike, ladies' bike, with a basket on the front. And I showed the two little bits on my mobile. It says, you could have this one or this one, just for a tenner. And she looked at me and said, oh, I like that mountain bike. So I, you know, got all smartened up I didn't want to go to a house or anything, so we agreed a place, or I'd meet or take her bike. And so I took her this bike, and I felt God say before, it's about Susan's life, it says, so I said to her, says, you know what I do, don't you? I'm a pastor of a church. And she said, yes, well, I've figured that out, and people have talked about it, and we talk about it. And I said, I felt as if God says, Susan, you're going through a difficult time, and God wanted to give you something to show that he cared about you and he loved you. And then she filled up with a tear and she said, you're right. Says, my nan, who I'm really close to, has just died. And I've just gone through this difficult time. So I thought, okay. I've met that person a number of times afterwards. She's a single mum now. And her babe, her little one, she wanted to call Theo, which is one of the names of God. And because she connected things that happened in her life with God caring about her and looking after her, being available to listen to God, listen to what he's saying and obeying. This is just one example. Very quickly, I want to just do this. There are two characters in the Bible that were available to God. The first one is a bit of a strange one. This guy, we get this in Numbers chapter 22, from about verse 31. And this is a guy in the Old Testament who was a prophet. He could hear God speak. In fact, he brought one of the messianic prophecies about a star will appear from Jacob. It'll not be yet, but a future time, a star will appear and will come out. And so Balaam was able to hear God, but he mixed hearing God with some of the, I could call them, New Age practices. And one of the things that these guys did, who delved into sort of divination, was to bring curses over people to do them harm. So if a business that they were in competition with, they would get a diviner to curse that so that they could do better. And you would get a fee for the divination, and your bank balance would look quite good. And so this group came to Balaam because he had a bit of a reputation. And they said, we want you to curse this group of people called the Israelites who are coming through this territory, because we know that they may take over our territory. We want you to curse them. And Balaam went to God and said, do I go with these people? He said, no way do you go with them. This is not good. And so Balaam said, I'm afraid I can't go with you. A little bit later, they came back, a bigger group, and they said, we will richly reward you if you come. And Balaam went back to God and said, Lord, surely You have compassion on me. I'd like to be richly rewarded. And actually, this time God said, okay. He didn't really want him to go, but he said, okay, you can go. So Balaam goes off with them in the hope of a nice honorarium and a nice big gift for bringing harm and cursing these people. So he goes off. Do you remember what happened to him on the way? A donkey he was riding on. As he went down through the vineyards, the angel of the Lord stood in his way to stop him going with a drawn sword. The donkey saw it, but Balaam didn't see it. And the donkey went off into a side of the field. And Balaam wasn't pleased. So he hits his donkey, gets him back on track again. And then in a small narrow part of the vineyard path, the donkey that is there and the angel of the Lord is there. So the donkey goes to the side so he doesn't hit the angel of the Lord. And he crushes Balaam's foot. And Balaam is so angry. He beats his donkey. And then eventually, on the narrowest part, the angel of the Lord stands there with a sword. So what does the donkey do? He sits down and squashes Balaam as he sits. Balaam gets his staff, beats him. And then the donkey opens his mouth. He says, am I in the habit of doing this to you? He says, and Balaam, the strange bit of the story is Balaam speaks back to the donkey, you know. And he says, no, you're not in the habit of doing this, but you have disgraced me so much. If I'd had a sword, I'd kill you now. And then the angel of the Lord then reveals himself to Balaam. And he says, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I think that's a fascinating thing. He was interested. God cares about animals. God cares about the way we treat animals and things. And so Balaam answers, and then he says he bows down to the ground. And he goes off with the group. And he says, shall I turn back? He says, no, go with them. And instead of cursing them, he blesses them. He doesn't get his big honorarium. He blesses. You know, he was bad news. But God turns it round for good news. There's lots of people around not doing good stuff, but God wants to turn them around. And then just this other lovely character, Mary. When the angel of the Lord comes to her and tells her, this is what we're going to do. You're going to become pregnant, and this is God's seed because you're a virgin, and this person is going to be the Messiah. And she is shocked, but she says, in the words of the song, here I am, wholly available. As for me, let it be to me according to what you have said. God wants us to be available to him. This is what I felt as I was praying. What people are Stroud. You see, when Mary said yes to that, the next thing the angel told her was, and your cousin Elizabeth is also going to have a child in her old age. And so she went and spent time. And Elizabeth poured into Mary wisdom, support, understanding. This is what I'd like to suggest. People are Stroud. There's quite a few of you that are an older generation. God wants you to be available to pour your love and your wisdom, your understanding into a younger generation. You can't just go and say, hey, come and hear my wisdom. You have to hear God as to how to do it. I found a way through repairing kids' bikes. And now over Tadpole, kids are coming and they're hearing the Bible stories and they connect it up together. So we're serving a younger generation. With that young dancer, I was able to speak something of the love of God. There was another lady dancer who they've lived together with her boyfriend for 7 years. And she said, Roger, would you do a blessing of our wedding? Because we're not getting married in a church. She said, could you do one of your talks and a blessing? I said, of course I would. And she also listened to a Care for the Family marriage talk. And he says, could you be our older, wiser couple that will meet up with us? Because we'd like to have some input. You have to find God's ways. Listen to him. But as an older generation that needs to serve a younger generation, because the younger generation will take something on that we can't take on. Secondly, are you available sometimes to move? We moved to Stroud when we were nicely situated up there in Oxford with all the church stuff. God began to speak to us. Go to the hill country. Go as an encourager. Go outside the camp. And my wife said, I think God wants us to go to Stroud. And I thought, hill country? Encourager? And we came the day that Stroud Christian Fellowship launched. And one of the people that I was asked to just get alongside pastor was a young guy called Martin Pearson. Yeah, so we've got a little bit of history together. Be available to move if God's speaking to you. And this is another thing I just felt. Available to let go of a big income to receive a smaller income to serve God and trust him for the difference. Or it may be just putting aside time so you're available to God. And number four, available to pray for healing, even if not much has happened yet. Do you know God's faithful? And he does it. So, as I finish, I just would like to suggest a couple of things. There are some people here. First of all, I think it's a general thing. Can you say in your heart, here I am, wholly available? Can we say that together? Can I just ask, could you just raise a hand like this to the Lord? Lord, I think you are speaking to everyone because it's there in your word. And we want to commit ourselves to be available to you. There's some people in this room, this is a day you're coming back to the Lord. It's not by chance that you're here. It's not by chance. God's got you here for a purpose. He wants you to be available to him. And this is your family. This is where you belong. This is a good place. People here want to do you good, not harm. They want to help you fulfill the purposes of God. So this is a day of coming back to God. Others of you, you've got a little bit dry. You've been available to all sorts of people, and God's saying to you, okay, just tone all the availability down a little bit and be available to me. This is your day. Lord, we're here, available to you. Please help us. In Jesus' name. There's somebody here, you can put your hands down. You've had a pain through your feet. And actually, after a while of standing or doing stuff, this pain just comes up your feet. I felt God say, I want to release. You've made a bit of a response this morning, and he wants to release a blessing over you by healing your feet. There's somebody else here. I just had this picture of some red bits over your skin. And I thought, has somebody been painting red bits? And they said, no, no, no. It's to do with skin irritation. And there's somebody here, you've actually had some circumstances in your life that have produced quite a lot of anxiety. And one of the things that's happened is your skin has reacted. God wants to heal you and touch you. loose you from the anxiety, and you're going to see healing. There's somebody else here, you have trouble with your eyes, and there's something to do with beginnings of cataracts. God wants to heal that. I took a meeting in Lutterworth a little while back, a few years ago, and this lady came forward. She had cataracts. She said, could you pray for my cataracts? I've not done this before. So we prayed over her. 2 months later, I was invited back again. This lady came up. I went in for my cataract operation, and they wouldn't operate on me. They said I'd already been operated on, because there was two little dots where the cataract had been sorted, and they were no longer there. And she said, oh, I haven't been for an operation, but these people prayed for me. I said, no, you've had the operation. Then there was like an argument. And she said, and the doctor had to let her say, well, that's very strange, but you don't need a cataract operation. So I've got faith, having seen that, to pray for cataracts. And I felt God say, there's somebody here, one person, particularly with their left eye. There's two people here. You get sciatica. It goes down your leg, and there's pain through your leg. So you've got a lot of time. And when you get a bit tired, your sciatica really hurts. Now God wants us to heal. There's another. I felt God say, there are 6 people here that have lower back pain. And we always love having a go just praying for people at the end. If you've got that, we'd love just to pray that God will straighten your spine, take out tension from the back here, and cause there to be a healing that just goes through your back. So many people have said, been to India, places like this, and they come back and say, you prayed for me at that time. I've not had any more back problems. It just dogged me for years. It's gone. It's an example of being available. And last one, somebody's got a band of pain just around their head like this, like a band going around your head. And you keep on getting it. So, you know, you're working and you're doing stuff, and this band around your head of pain. And God wants to lift that today. So I'm going to hand over to Martin. Martin, thank you for listening. Thank you for being available. And don't be shy. Come forward at the end. Take this opportunity. Amen.